Jeremy Solomon sat across the table from a well-known consulting company's interviewing manager, thinking about the question just asked him. At that moment, the $70,000 education he had received at Harvard Business School was useless. This topic hadn't been covered in his business or economics classes. In fact, the issue was one few ever think about. How many quarters, placed one on top of the other, would it take to reach the top of the Empire State Building? You might think that's an odd question for an interview. Unless, of course, you're one of the many applicants who have contended with such puzzles while trying to find a job. This genre of interview questions has gained popularity in technology companies, consulting businesses, investment banks, and law firms, and includes questions like, what does all the ice in a hockey rink weigh? How do they make jelly beans? How many gas stations are there in the US? Sometimes the questions literally have no correct answer. Like, if you had to get rid of one state out of the 50 states in the US, what would it be? This technique has become so common that popular science writer William Poundstone decided to write a book about it. How Would You Move Mount Fuji was first published in May 2003. Ever since I was a kid, I have been fascinated by puzzles, explains Poundstone. A few years ago, I started getting emails from friends saying they'd encountered these types of logic puzzles on job interviews, and they were basically asking for the answers to know if they had said the right thing. After I got 5 or 6 of these questions, I figured there'd be a book in it. Poundstone researched the topic and its origins at Microsoft. The company has used this interviewing strategy for decades, going back to when Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, personally evaluated every applicant before the company made an offer. Gates felt these puzzles were a good way to measure a person's true intelligence and way of thinking. Poundstone went into the book interested in the puzzles themselves, but doubted their effectiveness in evaluating applicants. But his views changed as he learned and thought more about it. The more I talked to people who explained why they did this, the more I sort of realized that hiring is not a very scientific thing anywhere, explains Poundstone. If you don't judge people on the basis of something like these puzzles, you're probably going to be judging them on the basis of how firm their handshake is, or whether you like how they are dressed, which are even less relevant. At least in the companies where you can say what you're doing is a kind of problem solving, I think this is a very good idea, actually. Poundstone also explains why the origins of this interviewing approach can be traced back to the technology field. I talked to a lot of people at technology companies who use these types of questions. They usually said that it has to do with the pace of technological change. It's very hard to hire someone for a specific set of skills today because some of those skills are going to be out of date in a few years. Poundstone points out that while various industries have started using this interviewing technique, It makes little sense for some types of workers. I think the phenomenon has been overused in some companies and some fields. Some people are hired for basic skills that don't change over the years. I don't see that these questions are necessarily an especially good way of evaluating those people. Even so, the question being used to evaluate you at your next interview may be one that doesn't even have a real answer. But if you prepare yourself mentally, you might end up giving the answer that gets you the job.